identification problem in Maryland. We have already sent lawyers there to talk with the poll workers and the election judges to make them stop that. And if they don't stop it, we will sue them today. I expect that it'll be resolved. We've been talking directly when people have been told that they're not registered. We've been talking directly to the poll workers and saying, listen, here's where we find their registration. You're wrong, and helping them to resolve that.
Robert Arnwine, we're going to have to leave it there, but we hope to talk to you again tomorrow to get reports on what has happened. Again, that number, if you have any problem voting, is 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-V-O-T-E. Barbara Arnwine, Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkshire, Hukdo Kudus, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Huber Rich, and Aaron Mattei, Jen Utes, Mike DeFilippo, and Nick Marsilio. Our engineers at website democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
The voice of Amy Goodman in auctioneer mode there as 6 o'clock comes upon us. You're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook on election night. Time for Off the Wall. And for those of you who have not yet reached for the radio to tune away and are remnants of our Democracy Now! Audience, be advised we are in the middle of, actually we're towards the end of our autumn fundraiser. And if you're a fan of Democracy Now!, we invite you to give a call to 631-632-9872 and pledge whatever you can afford and get some kind of Democracy Now! Premium in exchange. What do we have? We've got t-shirts, we've got fair trade coffee. We've got Democracy Now! Coffee or tea mugs, bumper stickers, hats, tote bags, the War and Peace trilogy, a DVD or VHS recording of any show you want, as well as autographed copies of Exception to the Rulers, Amy's book, and many other things as well. So if you're a fan of Democracy Now!, please give a call on this election night, 631-632-9872. We have volunteers standing by. Good evening. Mm-hmm. program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on what hopefully will be an historic day, November 7th, 2006. Election day in the country known as the United States of America. And an election that many people around the world don't quite understand because we're not voting for presidents and things like that, but we are voting in something I think that might be even more important. We're voting a direction that this country is going to head in for various positions like House of Representatives and senators and governors and a whole lot of local things. And for me personally, I have to say, this is it. This is the last chance, okay, America? This is your last chance, because you blow this, and I'm walking away from it, all right? I'm just washing my hands, and I'm walking away. Not from the country. I'm just walking away from you. Because it would be ridiculous at this stage to say, yeah, you know, everything's going okay. Let's keep it up. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. And if this is what the American people do, they've got nobody to blame but themselves. Nobody. No media. No television programs, no newspapers, no politicians, no aliens from outer space. Nothing except yourselves. So that's something to keep in mind. And I know a lot of our listeners are ineligible to vote for one reason or another. They're either foreigners or too young, African American, well, whatever reason you might have for being ineligible to vote in this country. Even if you cannot do it yourself, you can talk to other people, you can reach other people, and convince them to get to the polls. If you're under 18, talk to your parents. Make sure they visit the polls before they close tonight. And you know what? Don't even worry about how they're going to vote. Don't give me the excuse that I didn't tell my parents because I was afraid they were going to vote Republican. Give them some credit. Anybody around today watching the news, reading the papers, getting the overall sense of what's going on around us, has a brain, has a way of thinking, and just because they might put on some kind of a front to you, does not mean when they get to the polls and start asking themselves the questions that we've been asking, how are things going? Is this a good idea? Have we done the right thing up until now? That's where they make the important decisions. So, that's something to keep in mind. And of course, if you haven't voted yourself and you are eligible to, please do so immediately. I haven't done it yet. I'm doing it right after the show. Running out of here like a bolt of lightning to get to my polling station. And not only vote, but take notice of everything around to see what's weird and what's potentially a security issue. And that's what we've been asking a lot of our listeners and readers to do today for a special report we're going to have tomorrow night on Off the Hook concerning what voting machines are like, ways they can be potentially tampered with, or ways in which they're confusing, or ways in which your rights are not being respected, etc., etc. And nothing better than the mentality of a hacker to point these things out to the American public. There's nothing better than that. So that's why we're asking, if you have not yet gone to the polls, to pay special attention. Find out the brand name of your particular voting machine. If it's electronic, look for any kind of weirdness as far as strange connections, little boxes that might be attached to the machine somewhere, easy to unplug cords, or just very confusing on-screen directions, buttons that stick, things like that. Comments people make who work for the election board. And if you can't call the show tomorrow night on Off the Hook, write to Off the Hook, OTH@2600.com. And of course, that's different than this radio program's address. Please don't mail both, just mail one or the other. So, yeah, a lot of people are kind of confused in different countries. I know because I was in a different country only a couple of days ago. Sorry to say, the smart car is no longer here in the United States. The smart car has gone home to Canada. For those who don't know, that I have a smart car. I drive it around New York, entertaining people to no end, making people jump up and down and point, cops included. And it's now back in Canada because it's not there permanently. It's coming back here fairly soon. But the reason I had to do that was because it required what's known as a double wrench service. You get on the dashboard, a wrench shows up, and that means it's time for an oil change or something like that. Double wrench means a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit more of a timed maintenance. And I just didn't really want to do that down here because nobody has experience with those cars down here. So I figured probably best to bring it back to Canada where there are dealers who understand this sort of thing and go to Canada at the same time, which is always cool. So that's what I did. I drove the smart car up last week and stayed over for the weekend. Went to the Montreal 2600 meeting, and that was a lot of fun. Good meeting people up there. Good knowing that the meetings take place, and just seeing another country again. It's always fun. So yeah, Canada. People are confused up there as far as how this election works, what the purpose of it is.
Yeah, but and you can still save some of the files in there.
Who is that speaking?
Okay. First of all, according to what you're saying here, it means that you cannot install Windows on the computer.
Why am I hearing this person?
This is the... Yeah. Which means that it cannot read, that there's something wrong with the reading of the hard drive.
It's like he's giving directions or something.
If you delete the partition, everything is going to be gone anyway. But this means that you can probably remove the partition and put in a new one. It might be that the partition table is the one which is damaged. But,
you know what this is? It's coming to me now.
So...
This is my memory of my train trip back to New York from Canada, where I was basically in hell for about 9 hours. Yeah, that's hear the train horn. That's a train. And apparently, I'm conjuring this up in my head. Basically, I was surrounded by people who spent the entire damn trip on the telephone. That drove me insane. And this guy behind me, this is the irony of it all. The guy behind me wasn't so bad. It was the woman in front of me who was, well, there's just so much I could say that I'm not going to say. But this guy was trying to be quiet. And he was walking somebody through some kind of computer crisis. And he was leaning forward.
Yeah, it is. We'll recognize it, it's a hard drive.
He was leaning forward in the seat, which was right behind me, and talking quietly. Of course, what that meant was it was like he was whispering into my ear.
USB hard drive enclosures.
You could see, I was trying to read a book the whole trip down, and it was very hard with this voice in my head.
And then afterwards, you open up the computer.
To concentrate on what it was I was reading and not on what it was he was saying.
Basically like a little case.
And it just never ended.
It will become a USB hard drive.
He just was going through every possible configuration.
Laptop, and then you plug in the USB, you plug in this new USB hard drive.
I like the fact that he's saying USB so often because that is the call letters of this radio station, but you know,
copy the files out of it.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough.
Whatever files that are still accessible, because you're going to find that there's a lot of files which are buggy and they're not going to copy you. Certain things are not going to work.
So this is what I had to deal with on the trip back. And I got to tell you, you know, train rides are supposed to be fun, but Amtrak is kind of at fault here. What they do is they make everybody... They make everybody get into the same train car when there are four or five of them available.
You can't...
So situations like this are inevitable. There's no place to go. I couldn't get up and just go someplace else. Oh, sure, I could have turned around and told the guy to keep his mouth shut, but...
Process. What you have to do is that...
When you have another 8 hours to go, it's kind of...
There's also another one.
Kind of unwise to make enemies.
Dell is you.
And he was keeping quiet. That was the irony of it.
And tell them to install... that you want to install a new hard drive in there. They usually install a new hard drive. Like, you can buy a hard drive from the
This is bringing back really, really bad memories for me. And this is a problem that I've had so many times, no matter where I'm traveling, and even stationary, if I'm in a restaurant or something, people are talking, or even in movies, people are doing this sometimes. And it's always the same thing, you know? It's always the same thing. The phone rings, they're fumbling for their phone, and then they start talking to the person. No, I can't talk now. I'm in a movie. I said I'm in a movie. I can't talk. Listen, can you call me back later? Call me back. I can't hear you. Call me back later. Yeah, I'm trying not to be inconsiderate to the people around me. Yeah. And then that's repeated about 3 or 4 times. And, you know, the person's trying to be considerate by yelling at the top of their lungs. And it's just a nightmare for everybody around them. And, you know, people just don't seem to realize this. They don't seem to understand that what they're doing is wrong. What they're doing is bad. And what can you do? What can you do except complain about it on the radio and hope people take notice and see themselves in here? Okay, here's an example of somebody I hope sees themselves. Yeah. Recognize that voice? Judy? Judy, you hear me? Are you out there, Judy? Because I was privy to your conversations for almost the entire trip from Montreal to New York. I learned everything about your life. I learned that your mother is very sick. I learned that your daughters are giving you trouble. I even heard about the abortion 20 years ago. Why am I hearing these things? I'm trying to concentrate on reading my book, on doing work, on anything else but your life. This person must have been 40 different phone calls on the way down, calling everybody she knew in the United States, Canada, who knows where else. If we had still been on this train by now, I'm sure she would have called me, because she was just going through every possible phone number and letting the whole world know where she was, what she was doing, how she felt, what was on her mind. God forbid we're alone for even a minute to collect our thoughts. And of course, when you're traveling on a train, the signal is constantly going in and out, so you have to talk really loud and try to get people's attention and then call back and have them call you.
No, you know what the problem is? The problem is that all my neighbors.
And I always wind up sitting either in front of or in back of these people. I thought I was winning because I was able to get a seat next to me empty. But no, you know, the people in front of you, the people. I was even hearing people 3 seats down. Their phones were so loud, their voices were even louder.
We started a year ago, and a year ago is a very big difference from now, you know? And now already, you know, it's
yeah, Judy, thank you so much for making my trip so... And when you weren't talking on the phone, you were humming to yourself. And that annoys me even more. You know, people, I don't know what's up with hummers. Not the cars, the people, though they're both annoying. What is it about them? What are you getting from just humming to yourself out loud, annoying people around you? I mean, maybe there's something to be said for annoying the people around you. Maybe that's somehow therapeutic. But it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. I could have finished my book. I could have finished it in that trip. But no, I only got halfway done because of you. Ever hear of text messaging? Anyway, so Canada is great. I had fun. And I can't say that this is purely an American thing. These could be Canadians too, although I know Judy is not a Canadian. I know where she lives and everything like that. And I tell you what, Judy, if I had had your phone number, if you're giving your phone number out just once to anybody that you were calling, trying to get to call you back, I would have been pranking you the entire way down, making your phone ring and hanging up. I would have had the time of my life, and it wouldn't have been halfway as annoying as what you put me through. But, you know, you have to think about this. When you're talking on the phone out loud like this, in the vicinity of somebody with an MP3 recorder, you're really opening yourself up to all sorts of privacy invasions. You really are. You have to ask yourself, what am I doing? What kind of personal information am I giving out?
Her family's down her back. I'm sure they are.
I learned all sorts of things. More things about you than people that I've known all my life. Some people just broadcast on a billboard their entire personal lives, and then they're surprised when people know things about them they're not supposed to know. Okay. You know, I also have to ask myself, maybe this is the way to deal with it. Maybe if we simply record the people around us who are being annoying and then play them back on the internet, on the radio, whatever. It's something that's coming to you. You're not going out and seeking it. You're not planting a bug on somebody. You're sitting in your own chair, and these are the noises you're surrounded with. Might just make a statement. So I saw the movie Borat up in Canada, and boy, I got to tell you, that was one heck of a film. I recommend everybody go out and see this as quickly as possible while the theaters are still crowded, because that's the kind of movie you want to see with a whole crowd of people, only because, just to get a sense of how funny it is. You know, when you're watching something on television or by yourself, and something is really funny, sometimes you might not realize how funny it is. Until you realize that, hey, I'm with 500 people who can't stop laughing. And people who are going into convulsions, falling on the floor, that kind of thing. You realize, wow, you know what? This really is funny. And, yeah, it's also very subversive. It's a very subversive type of a film, because what basically is done here is it's guerrilla filmmaking. It's the story of a guy from supposedly Kazakhstan, who really is not from there. We all know that. Although the people in the Kazakh government don't seem to know that. Someone who comes to this country and is making a quote-unquote documentary, but doing it in the most bizarre, crazy way, and asking all kinds of ridiculous questions, and making people say and do things they would never ordinarily say and do. And this goes to the root of a particular type of social engineering that I like to practice sometimes, where basically you talk to somebody and you either talk extremely slowly or with a very thick accent, and you get them so impatient that they just start telling you things that they wouldn't tell somebody who was quick and articulate and that they could understand. And so you have people in this movie that are basically talking about the real agenda of the Bush administration and how it's to get rid of the gays and the minorities and to, you know, kill all the Arabs and things like that. People who would never say these things normally, but to say it to somebody who they think they can shape into someone who believes what they believe, and they're speaking to an audience that is never going to actually be around them, somebody someplace else, they'll say things that they never ever would have said. And that's the brilliance of this. That's the brilliance of the whole Borat concept, is just seeing how people react. Seeing how people react to the craziness that you confront them with. And I did a little looking into how this was done. And apparently what they did, and it's very clever, they would go to people, get them to sign releases and pay them in cash. And then they would have interviews with various people, this guy Borat from Kazakhstan, who barely understood English and would say all sorts of bizarre and crazy things, would try his best to ask them questions. And they couldn't really walk away, nor could they refuse to have their footage used, because they had already been paid for it. And they thought they were trying to help this poor guy out. And so when these people decide that they're going to help him become a cultured member of society, and he's asking them all sorts of questions at the dinner table that are really horrible, embarrassing, sexist, things like that, they are patient, and they try and answer as best they can. And when he asks to go to the bathroom, or whatever it is he calls it, they speak about him in his absence and say, you know, I think we can shape him into a very decent person. And even when he comes back with a plastic bag filled with the excrement he has just left in the bathroom, because he doesn't know that the custom in America is not to do that, they still act with patience, a little bit of surprise and shock, but they try their best, and the reactions are simply priceless. And it's not until he brings an African-American woman into the home that they freak out and call the police. Well, there's a whole lot you can learn from that. But seeing that movie in Canada, and watching the reaction to things like people speaking in tongues at a revivalist meeting at some church group someplace, that you realize that most of the world thinks that we're completely out of our brains. There are so many crazy things going on in this country, so many divorced from reality episodes that take place every minute of every day. And that's how the rest of the world sees us. You know, watching that church revivalist meeting where people are literally falling on the ground prostrate and waving their arms and speaking in all kinds of bizarre nonsense, you realize, you know, that's no less crazy than those people in Iraq that decided the first thing they were going to do when Saddam Hussein was toppled was start stabbing each other with swords because that was some kind of religious observation that they had been encouraged not to do under the tyranny of Saddam Hussein. So, yeah, and couple that with all the crazy militarism and the consumerism that's out there and just the overall ignorance of what the rest of the world thinks and the apathy towards what the rest of the world cares about, you realize, yeah, this film is a lot more realistic than we might give it credit for. So please, go out and see that ASAP. As soon as you vote, go and see that movie, and then once you get out, you can find out what's actually going on. Saw that in Canada, and wandered around speaking to all kinds of people. And it's always fun. It's great to get to a different country that is so close. Now, getting there is very easy. Of course, I drove the car up and was in just a few hours. Getting back was a bit more difficult, even though I was taking the train. Apparently, and this is something that I learned on the way back. I suspected it. But boy, this was something. Yeah, she's still talking. She does not shut up. And if you listen to her, the person on the other end never gets to say anything. Just constant babble of tongue here. And she was speaking different languages, too. I'll give her credit. She knew different languages. But unfortunately, that didn't result in her cutting down the amount of time she spoke one particular language. She simply spoke two or three times more than the average person would.
It's so nice. She was so impressed. She said, "You're such a wonderful
woman." On the way back, at customs, basically the train stops at a point on the border, and these five customs people get on, one woman, four guys, and then another guy, big fat guy with sunglasses who doesn't have a uniform. They all get on the train, and they walk up and down, ask to see people's passports or whatever identification is required, and basically ask them, how long are you in Canada? Why did you go to Canada? Did you go anyplace else? Things like that. And mine went very smoothly. Sitting in my chair, the guy comes by, says these basic questions to me. I answer them the best of my ability, and everything is cool. Walks on. About 10 minutes later, he came back. I said, please come with me to the dining car. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get a free lunch out of this, maybe? No, it wasn't anything like that. Basically, what happens, they come back. Actually, no, this was the only time they came back. They would pick people out who were from different countries who didn't have the proper documentation and ask them to go to the dining car with them.
I'm going to hang up the telephone.
Yeah, you're going to hang up? You're going to hang up and then you're going to call somebody else right away, right? Yeah, the voice of Judy here. Okay, she's saying goodbye. Thanks for calling. They called her. Thanks a lot, whoever called Judy on the train. Of course, you were just returning her call. But look, this is peace. This is the moment of peace I got where she wasn't talking. Let's try and appreciate it together. As you can see.
Oh, you are? I'm so happy. Yay! You're kidding.
Maybe you get 20 seconds.
So bananas, you take pictures and I know how
between calls, but
which is why I'm calling to tell you.
Never more than that.
Did you give the envelope to Rifki yet?
All right, enough of that. So anyway, they basically would ask people to go to the dining car who didn't have the proper documentation or seemed suspicious or too black or whatever else. But they came back for me after I'd already answered the questions, after I'd given them my card and everything like that. And there was nothing at all on my card. I wasn't declaring anything, legitimate address, legitimate name. But they came back and they asked me to go to the dining car. So I had to bring my bags to the dining car. And we're basically talking two bags. We're talking clothes bag and a computer bag. And went to one of the tables in the dining car, and I had to dump all my clothes onto the table. Yeah, dirty clothes on the table. Everybody was doing this. This is how they do it. I don't know if they clean the table afterwards. I didn't stick around to find out, but basically they're pawing through all my dirty clothes and looking at every single piece of paper that I had, asking me questions. And strangely enough, the guy that was doing all this was very impressed with the book that I was trying to read, that Judy was keeping me from reading, which, by the way, is Fast Food Nation. I recommend everybody read that. And basically, wow, look at this, she's not talking. Basically, very nice, very polite, but still searching you, still going through your personal belongings. And it's...
Stop Schenectady at this time. The cafe car is temporarily closed. It will reopen with an announcement upon departure from the Albany Rensselaer Station in approximately 30 minutes. Schenectady Station stop is Schenectady. The cafe is now temporarily closed. I was asked you please return to your seats at this time. Thank you.
Yeah, and you see, as soon as something happens, it has to be reported immediately on the telephone. So inside of 5 seconds, she's making reports as to where she is and calling everybody else. You know, I can't listen to this anymore. It's just, I'm sorry if it's driving you crazy. Imagine what it did to me. And to hear this again. Okay, enough. Yeah, so there I was in the dining car with all my underwear on the table and various other items, answering questions about what I had been doing, where I was, what was going on. Someone trying to get in? Come on, you can make more noise than that. Did we get a call? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, this is a request for me to shut up and play music? No, okay. This is actually a pledge from Billy of Kansas City, Missouri, the good one, the good Kansas City, not the evil Kansas City in Kansas. I'm just trying to get calls from Kansas City, Kansas as well, but thanks, Billy, for your generous donation. And we're going to give out the information that other people can do. We're going to give out the phone number in just a second, if I can get my head together here. Yeah, so basically answering all sorts of questions at the table, where I was, what I was doing, why I went to Canada, was I in trouble before, things like that. And as I said, very nice, very polite and pleasant, and just unnerving that I had to go through this again on the train. Everybody told me, on the train, this doesn't happen. On the train, it's easy. You don't get the third degree, but for some reason I did. And it wasn't until that I was cleared and I was heading back that I heard some of the conversation amongst the customs agents who were talking to other people and then talking to themselves. They wanted to know if that was the last person on the list. Yeah, I heard that phrase. Unfortunately, my recorder didn't pick that up. Because I did have it on while I was going through all of this, but a lot of rustling noise and nothing really good was picked up. But I did hear that in the background as I was leaving. Yes, was that the last name on the list? So that tells me right there is a list. There's some kind of a list. Maybe they made up the list on the spot and just randomly threw cards up in the air and said, okay, let's go back and get this person. But, you know, they didn't go back and get anybody else. They brought other people there who they deemed suspicious at the moment. There was something they consulted or something that gave them pause and made them come back. I can't imagine anything on the card that was at all suspicious. Nothing I filled out was in any way untoward or unusual. So, yeah, I gotta think that there is some kind of a list out there and I happen to be on it. And it's not the first time I've suspected that, but it is the first time I've heard the phrase used by them. So, okay, yeah, that was the trip back on the train from Canada back into the United States. And, of course, everybody I told about this has said to me, welcome to America. And yet, I guess that's what it's turned into. That's what it's all about, suspicion and questioning people and looking for things and never really finding them. And something else I noticed as soon as I got on the train was just the way people were spoken to. The very first thing, as soon as I board the train, we're getting admonished by the PA system saying, please, people, don't stuff up the toilets with all sorts of things because it causes flooding and then nobody else can use the toilet. And then we have as if this is what everybody on the train wants to do right away. And they also saying, you know, if you don't have proper clothing on, such as shoes and a shirt, when you go to the dining car, you won't be served. Is this a problem too? Should we have something on there saying, please, no murders on the train because that's frowned upon? You treat people as if they're idiots and criminals, and that's exactly what you're going to get. I'm really curious what kinds of things go on these trains that they have to make these crazy announcements right away. The first thing you hear when you get on is that. Not even welcome on board. Okay. I'm glad I got that out of my system. It's very therapeutic. But now, therapeutic things for the radio station are what's really important. This is the last show taking place during the fall fundraiser, which takes place during the fall here on WUSB. And it's necessary so that the station can keep going, keep transmitting, and keep bringing you alternative programming of all sorts. And we have so many great alternative programs that take place throughout the week and throughout the month, throughout the year. And it's only by the support of listeners like you that it all becomes possible. Now, last week we aired a radio play that I wrote many years ago and that we put on this radio station back in 1985. And it was a real thrill last week on Halloween. It's great to do a show on Halloween and then the next week do a show on Election Day. The two scariest days of the year. But to do this particular presentation on Halloween was just so cool. The fact that we could just pull this out of the archives and put it back on the air. And it still affects people in some way. I've been hearing comments all week from people saying they heard it and, wow, it was scary. And boy, considering that the nuclear power plant on this island no longer exists, a story about a nuclear accident on Long Island still affects people. That says something. Either you're incredibly naive or the play actually was good. Or both. But we didn't get a chance to, at the end of the play, to ask people to call in and pledge support to the radio station. So I'm asking that now, because what we have for you in exchange for that is an autographed CD collection of the radio play called Shadow of Long Island. It's two CDs, last about 2 hours and 10 minutes. Now, there is a version online that we stuck online after last week's presentation, but the version you'll get will be of better sound quality and won't have us interrupting every few minutes to ask for money. And stuff like that. For a pledge of $50, you'll get that double CD autograph set plus a WUSB t-shirt, which you can wear proudly amongst your friends and neighbors and say, look at me, I support one of the most creative radio stations in the universe. And I think we can say that without being challenged too much, at least by too many creatures out there. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. 631-632-WUSB. It would be great to see the phones light up and ring on this election day as we bring this fundraiser to a conclusion. And I should point out, in comparison to most other radio stations out there, our goals are so incredibly meager here. I believe that we're within $1,000 of the actual goal, the final goal. If not $1,000, it's little more than that. And on the other radio station, that would be brought in a matter of minutes. But here we're giving ourselves a few more days to get there. It's a small community campus station, and we're about as sincere as you can possibly get. So your call really matters to the people in there, to the people in the tally room picking up the phone. It really matters when that phone starts ringing and there's somebody on the other end who actually hears us or actually listens, whether they're listening to the FM signal at 90.1 here in Stony Brook or whether they're listening to us online through the WUSB.FM stream or whether they're listening through the off-the-wall stream at www.2600.com/off-the-wall. Doesn't matter. You're all listeners. You're all people who are a part of the WUSB family, and we couldn't do it without you. So please help us out and join Billy, who's already called in before we even started asking get the Shadow of Long Island collection, or any number of things that we also have. Do you know we have WUSB sweatshirts of all different sizes? We have WUSB tote bags, and this is different than the Democracy Now! Tote bags. We have those as well. We have all sorts of things. All sorts of incredible things. In addition, compact discs like you would never believe. We have basically the tally people that you call up at 631-632-WUSB will walk you through and find things that you're happy with to send you as our way of saying thanks for calling us. It's that simple. And it's not expensive at all. It really is not. A pledge of $15 means a lot. A pledge of $30 means a lot. Obviously, pledges of 90.1, joining the 90.1 club, mean a lot too. But most importantly, knowing you're out there, knowing you care, knowing you support what we do, that's what really matters. 631-632-9872. And gotta say, you know, there's no calls on the line. No call. I know it takes a couple of minutes for my voice to get out of the internet, so I'm not too depressed yet. But what about you people driving around on Long Island listening right now? Oh, yeah, you gave to another radio station? Well, guess what? That's not us. That's not us. A totally different concept. You're listening to this radio station for a reason. Because we're just a little bit different. Because we play things that you want us to play. Because you can call us and ask us to play something, and we will. Or you can call in a talk show like this, not this week, unfortunately, but next week, definitely, and give your opinions, ask questions, voice your objections. And during the course of a week, the amount of different things you hear on this radio station is unsurpassed on Long Island. And to keep that up requires a lot of volunteer effort, and we have between 1 and 200 people who work here who volunteer their time, their energy, and their expertise, because we really do have a lot of people who know a whole lot about their subject matter, the music they play, have incredible backgrounds. And that's why the audience is such an important part to all that, because these people are trying so hard to bring this alternative programming to you, programming that could not be heard in other places. So again, 631-632-9872. I figured by now my voice has gotten to the internet, so now I'm starting to wonder where those calls are. I see a lone tally person in there. Yeah, one tally person. Actually, Chris, you can hear me, right? You're waving your hand. You don't just do that ordinarily. Why don't you come in here, and I guarantee you, as soon as you come in here, the phones will start to ring. This is what you got to do. This is how you have to get people to call in. It's called Murphy's Law. Fine. You know, I'll play whatever game has to be played. Chris, you're here. Thanks for embarking on this experiment.
Hi, Eric. I'm here.
How you
and
doing?
We're waiting for the phones to ring. Come on, yes. Folks. You can do it. I just want to thank you for a great broadcast of
See, the phone's ringing right now. Get out of here. Phone's
see you later. Bye.
But make sure it's a pledge. Come back if it's not a pledge. You see how easy that is? Of course, we want to hear from Chris later. But, boy, the things I have to do. And of course, now there's more people that have shown up. Oh, Chris, you can come back now since other people are taking the phone calls. 631-632-9872. I'll tell you what, you know, I'll tell Chris to get out again if another phone call rings, another phone comes in. Sorry to make you run around the studio like that.
Oh, it's okay, Eric. We don't mind doing that as long as people are calling.
It's good exercise.
It is.
631-632-9872.
Right, or if you're calling from out of state, as we had a great call before from, I believe, Kansas City, it's 1-800-394-WUSB.
That's if you want to use a toll-free line. Or you could just, sometimes it's free to call the regular line, too. And then we don't have to pay anything. So you can call 1-631-632-9872.
Yes, I think that would be the thing to do. And we are getting close, I believe, so we do need your calls. It looks that way. I have to verify it with Mr. Barrelhouse Wiener there later on. But indeed.
Barrelhouse Wiener, we still call him that, don't we? I saw Jim Wiener for the first time in a while, just a few minutes ago, and boy, that was a thrill. Jim Wiener, of course, a voice you might be familiar with from the old Brain Damage recordings that we've made available online. And that's just one of the magical moments of WUSB that have happened over the years.
True, true. Many magical moments. Jim is one of the alternating hosts for Jazz on the Air, which is really great. And just to support some of the unique programming that we have here on WUSB, and in particular, this program, which is always a gas to listen to. You never know what's going to be coming up next. You never know when you're going to hear about the smart car or Eric's very interesting adventures, wherever he might be. But in particular, when I hear you talking about being on the train there, Emmanuel, it really is quite funny. People doing silly things, and after all, that's what it's about, man. It gets kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah, you know, where else can you record the annoying lady sitting in front of you and play her back on the air? That's you can't do that on commercial radio, I don't think.
We could only hope that she would be listening somewhere.
We
and,
can.
And understanding.
Somebody recognizes her voice and says, Judy, look what you did. That was very bad.
But a real coup last week with a great broadcast, Shadow Over Long Island, and if people were really listening, they would pick up on certain things, as you had pointed out. But I was speaking to Bob and Arrow before, mm-hmm. and he said that he actually did field a couple of calls of people that were distressed, meaning that 20 years later, 20-plus years later, it is still as effective as it was when you put it together, which is really quite a feat.
And so. That's not to say that we were doing it to distress people, but it does point out some very significant changes in society where we can really freak out over something that is so obviously fake because we're so nervous that something's going to happen. No, there's no nuclear power plant on Long Island, but somehow there's a nuclear accident on Long Island. How is that possible? It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? I'm going to panic and get angry at the people broadcasting it because it's not responsible. Whereas 20 years ago, it was considered something educational and interesting, and that's when we did have a nuclear plant in Long Island.
Oh, yes. But that's what USB is about. It gets you thinking. It makes you just wonder about what's going on and appreciate the fact that there are stations like this around on the dial, although we are dwindling, to say the least.
Why are we dwindling? Is it because people don't call up and support us?
That's part of it.
That could be part of it. 631-632-9872. Come on. We're not kidding around here. This isn't for our health we're doing this. This is necessity. If we don't raise the money, then we have to not have certain things. Maybe we have to cut programs that we have to pay for, or maybe we have to not fix equipment that needs fixing. Whatever it is, it's something that doesn't help any of us. And that's why if you're out there and you can afford to just throw a few bucks our way, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, whatever, please make the phone call. It's important. We wouldn't ask if it wasn't important. 631-632-9872.
Absolutely. It's important that you keep the programming fluid here, that you allow us to continue to bring this great diversity of programming, everything from just about every genre of music to very important political programs and programs indeed like this off the wall. It doesn't get much better than this.
We're the only station that broadcasts Democracy Now! In the area in the afternoons. It's broadcast in the morning, I know, in the city, but out here, we're the only station that has it at 5 o'clock every weekday. You mentioned Jazz on the Air with Jim Wiener, an alternating host. That's on Sunday afternoons, I believe.
Yes, it's still on Sundays from the best I can get. And just all over the range completely. I mean, the reggae with Lister on Saturdays.
Lister has been doing reggae longer than anybody in the country. And that's not a joke. He really has had a show doing reggae music since the 70s. And reggae music wasn't around before the 70s, you know.
No, it certainly wasn't like it is today, as popular and entrenched as it is. But back then, USB was on the cutting edge, as we still are now.
Mm-hmm.
But very important. Same thing with Filipito, with the salsa. Fantastic music.
These are programs that have been around for a very, very long time, but they haven't gotten any less relevant over the years. And if you listen to the shows, you'll see how they still have that spark to them. People all around the world have heard of this. People around the world have heard of Lister. Lister was Bob Marley's personal spokesman for a while, and everybody at Island Records knows who he is. Basically, something about WUSB inspires people to go on to greatness. Now, obviously, I'm a bad example of that, but there are people here who have gone on to incredible things. People have gone on to work high-level positions at record companies, who have gone on into broadcasting and in various other places, who have turned into teachers and doctors and lawyers and firemen and whoever else, you know, the people that keep our society going.
Well, there's actually the reverse too, Emmanuel, which is folks that are community members that are drawn to WUSB and they want to become part of it, and they are professionals. They are out in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes us so strong, because as you had mentioned before, people from all diverse walks of life come in here and they enrich the station. They make the WUSB collective family very large, and they bring their wealth of knowledge and experience to the station. And that's what makes us so strong. strong and so good. I learn just about every day when I listen in, and you can't ask for more than that.
Absolutely. And of course, Chris, we can hear you on Thursdays playing the most amazing music from all around the world. Do you want to tell us something about your show?
Oh, sure. Thank you. We do the Global Rhythms program, which basically focuses on ethnic roots music all the way up to the popular rhythms from everywhere. And we try to mix it up. You won't hear so much reggae on my show because WUSB is strong with reggae. You won't hear that much salsa because we're strong in salsa. So I try to mix it up, and you'll hear everything from Tuvan throat music to Nordic music to yodeling.
Wait, you got the throat things from Mongolia? You got that?
Yes.
When I was in Mongolia, I talked to a throat singer, and boy, has the most amazing music I think I've ever heard. We got some of it on tape.
The harmonics are phenomenal. How they start off real low like this, and then they get I can't get the harmonic that comes out because it's like it's a very high harmonic that comes out of the same throat, out of the person's. I can't
like
believe
two things
how they
at
do
once. Two,
yes.
two different. We actually looked this up when I was going across the Pacific Ocean. The person I was on the boat with. We were looking at the recordings through Cool Edit, and you could see this two different distinct waveforms taking place.
Coming from the same throat, from the same mouth.
It's unbelievable, some of the music that takes place in various parts of the world. So, Chris, I'm not surprised that you know a lot about this, playing all these different kinds of music over the years.
And I've learned through USB. I've had help from folks, and I've done a lot of research myself, as have my fellow DJs, including you, Emmanuel. I mean, folks take it upon themselves, and we're not getting paid to do this. None of the money's going in our pockets, but yet we still take the time, we go out, we program, we research, we search people out, we do interviews, like you heard the Robin Hitchcock interview yesterday, along with the special. Elvis
right.
Costello's coming up with a special.
Yes.
Going to be a coup on an interview there. Jim Dexter and I are going to be interviewing the folks from Celestial Navigations on Thursday. This is what we do, mm-hmm. because we look to do good radio. That's what USB is about.
631-632-9872. Please make that call now, because we're going off the air. This radio program's going off the air in just 9 minutes. And we'd like to see a flurry. There's one call on the line. Actually, I think they just finished with that pledge, so now another line is free. 631-632-9872. And Chris, you said we don't get paid. That's not really true. We do get paid here. We get paid in not financially, but just through the experience, through the education that we get, interacting with each other, listening to each other's programs, and just interacting with our listeners. That is payment that I don't think could be matched by anything on a check.
That's very true, Emmanuel. It's very true. And that's the way I feel also. Although I guess we need to make that point to our listeners, because most people are used to equating payment with the dollar, with the mm-hmm. coin, and that's not something we get here. And I think that's the reason why most of us do come back and remain here. It's been almost 20 years for myself, and I remember saying many years ago, when this isn't fun anymore, and believe me, there have been some trials and tribulations, but I said, I'm just going to walk away because I've got so much going on in my life, and look how long it's been.
Yeah,
same thing with yourself.
How many
years has it been? I mean,
I first walked through these studio doors, not realizing that you had to push them first. In the fall semester of 1977, that's when I was a freshman at Stony Brook.
Almost 30 years.
Can you believe that?
Big 3-0.
Of course, back then, I was just doing news reports and various things like that. And one day I'll find the recordings of those. Some of them are pretty funny. But since then, I basically was encouraged to be creative. Any idea I had, I wasn't met with, no, you can't do this. I was met with, okay, give it a try, and maybe this will make it better, and do what you can. And that's what everybody here is greeted with. And that's what I hope to think our listeners are greeted with, too. I hope it comes across over the airwaves.
And they give us a call at 631-632-WUSB. Pledge your support, folks. Plenty of great premiums, including Democracy Now! Premiums. We still have the Shadow Over Long Island with the WUSB T-shirt for a pledge of $50. That is a deal right out there. It's fantastic.
It's historic. This is something that's never been offered before. In fact, we were afraid we didn't even have this in the archives anymore. So it was great to actually find it and be able to broadcast it. And now you can have it for yourself. Hey, you can even broadcast it over your radio station if you work at one, or just play it through your speakers and scare the people around you. Who knows?
that's one way to do it, indeed. And somewhere there might be that famous watermelon incident somewhere, right? Is that
the watermelon
is that still incident.
That's
lingering?
That's not part of Shadow Over Long Island.
Oh, no, I know that, but it was something that kind of reminded me for some reason.
I actually see Jim Wiener from here, and Jim Wiener was, of course, implicated in the watermelon incident.
He was.
This is something that goes back to the Voice of Long Island days. Actually, it's the Voice of Long Island reunion show that that. Hopefully we'll be able to get that online as well. And in fact, I think there's a video that goes with that. We're talking magic of the future there, because
Something to look forward to, folks.
Absolutely.
That's what USB is about: looking towards the future, looking towards better programming, maintaining the current programming. And we need you to go to your phone to pledge your support.
631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Last few minutes here, we'd like to see a couple of calls come in for people that recognize what we're doing on this election night, people that that see the value of non-commercial radio, true non-commercial radio. We're not an NPR station. We're not a commercial station. We're not a religious station. We're a station made up of a couple hundred people from the community and the campus here at Stony Brook in New York on Long Island. And we learn radio, we put it together, we do some interesting things, and most importantly of all, we interact with you, we hear your suggestions, and you become part of the whole process. And this is an important way to become part of the process, investing in us. 631-632-9872. Chris, I know you joined the station. When you did join the station, you had actually been involved in a different station, right?
Yes, actually, I cut my teeth on what was WSCR 640 AM, Southampton College, which unfortunately is no longer around, which went to WPBX, as we call it, the Public Broadcasting Experiment.
Yeah, now that station has a sordid history. So it started as an AM station,
right?
And then at WPBX, which is a great call letter, because in the phone freak world, it means something else.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, there was a community station then, WPBX, and then what happened?
And then from there, it went to WLIU, because they basically used it as a tool, unfortunately, Long Island University, which I won't get into right now, because it's going to get my blood boiling. But basically, things had changed. They took this great station, which we basically turned into, or when I was there, it went from AM to FM, which was fantastic, and it was a great small station that was very homegrown, and then slowly over time, it became this big monster that the bigger folks up the echelon, which will remain nameless, decided that they were going to use it as a big tool to deal with the community out in the Hamptons, and it just got out of control and became, I think it went to all, first it was a lot of blues, then it went to jazz, and now I think it still remains jazz, but they removed classical, they took just about everything.
Well, they removed the people. It's all basically simulcast programming now, right?
Well, for the most part, the big change was that there are no students. There, the community members are very limited out there, and it was a big change. So coming here to USB years later, my good friend Bob Duffy, who I went to high school with, turned me on to the station. He's a long-standing member. And I saw the difference and the relevance and the importance of WUSB when I first walked through the doors, when I first met folks like yourself and the great extended family we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really been the reason why I've stayed for so long.
And I think it demonstrates, by the way, we have two phone calls on the line. That's great. 631-632-9872. Another phone call, and we'll have a crisis in that room as people have to start jumping over each other to get to the phones.
Well, either that or I'll have to run out.
Well, it's amusing to see that from over here. And please make me laugh tonight, because it's election night, and that it might be my only chance. 631-632-9872. But I think your story, Chris, demonstrates the fragility of non-commercial radio, because you guys built up a station out there in the Hamptons, and it was just taken from you. It was taken from you by the authorities, and we're very lucky here to be part of Stony Brook, where the powers that be recognize the importance of non-commercial radio run by the people here at the university. And just also to sort of underline that with a dramatic irony, Southampton University is no more. the campus pretty much was sold to this campus, was sold to the State University at Stony Brook. So now if you go out there, you'll see signs saying Stony Brook at Southampton, which is kind of funny. So that campus no longer exists as part of Long Island University.
LIU,
but
right.
While they bought the radios, while they bought the campus, they did not buy the radio station, because that university, even though they didn't have a campus anymore, they wanted to hold on to the radio station. They saw that as more important than the campus.
Oh, it is entrenched. There's no doubt about that. And there's some potential in the future. But for now, it's it's there as WLIU, which still kind of sticks in my craw, because PBX, I thought, was the absolute best. And
it's not like you can't get NPR programming nine times over in that same location.
True.
But, every single frequency seems to have the same thing. Okay, now my blood's starting to boil. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We got to get going.
Give us a call, folks. 631-632-WUSB. We're standing by. We want your pledge. And show your vote of support to Emmanuel and the great programming that he brings to WUSB on Tuesday evenings. It's just a great show.
And I'd also like to ask people to tune in for a really special program coming up on Friday, an Elvis Costello Marathon, which is simply going to blow you away. If you've never heard Elvis before, we're going to go out with a song by Elvis, but This is something we did many years ago. I think like 20 years ago, there was an Elvis marathon. And there was so much material then. Just to imagine how much has happened since then. He's matured so much as an artist. So many diverse pieces out there. But the real amazing thing about this particular marathon is that there's going to be a live interview with Elvis Costello himself.
That's a big coup. Jono, thumbs up, baby. You did it, man.
Worked very hard on this. And that comes your way from 12 noon to 9 p.m. this Friday. So those of you out there on the internet, mark your internet things, whatever. Whatever you do to make sure that you listen, it's going to be historic. And it's just one of the many things that we do here at this radio station. So that's part of the importance of it all. Wouldn't be possible without your support. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Pledge for the Shadow of a Long Island, the USB T-shirts, the Democracy Now! Premiums, or any of the scores or other things we have.
And we have plenty of them.
We're out of time. All right. This is my favorite Elvis Costello song of all. So if you've never heard him before, this is a good one to listen to. Lyrics and poetry and all sorts of cool things included. Don't forget to vote. See you next week. Good night.
Don't start the talking. I could talk all night. My mind goes sleepwalking while I'm putting the world to right. Call careers information. Have you got yourself an occupation? All of us are here to stay.
This is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.